Thanks for tuning in to the Next Level Church podcast. If you've never attended in person, we'd love to have you join us on Sunday mornings at 9:30 or 11:05 at 3105 Hampton Highway in Yorktown, Virginia. For more information, check out our website at nextlevelchurch.net.
Well, today we're kicking off a brand new series called Core Matters. Core Matters. And the core of something is incredibly important. In fact, if you look at the definition of core, the definition is the central or most important part of something. So the core is the central or the most important part of something. A few years ago, I was having back problems, and I went into the doctor to see what was going on with my back, and he said that it wasn't necessarily a back problem, it was a core problem. If you have a flabby core, it affects your back. You tighten your core, it strengthens your back. It's amazing how, when you work on your core, it fixes everything. It is the central or most important part of something. And for Next Level Church, we have six core values. These are six things that help us fulfill our mission. Maybe if you're new to Next Level, maybe you haven't picked up, our mission is to love Jesus, love people, and make a difference. That's our mission. But how we're practically going to do it is spelled out in our core values. And for the next couple weeks, each week, we're going to break down our mission statement, starting off today with love Jesus. And we're going to talk about two of our core values that help us love Jesus. And if this is your first time with us, or if you've been only coming for a few weeks or months, I think this is a great series for you because this is going to be a chance for you to say, okay, is this the church God's leading me to? Can I align myself with what God's doing here? Do I like this place? Is this for me? If you are a regular attender, or what we call an owner, that is that you give back. This is your church, and so you volunteer, or you're in a group, or you give financially to support the ministry. If you're an owner, I hope this is a great series for you, because this is going to help align all of us around the core values, because they're what is most important, and it's going to help us fulfill our mission, which is to love Jesus, love people, and make a difference. And so in order to do that today, we are going to look at two different verses. They happen at two separate times. They both involve Jesus, and they're going to help us learn how to fulfill our mission to love Jesus. And I want to give you guys a little bit of context before we dive into our first verse. Our first verse is coming at the end of a rant from Jesus. If you just read this verse out of context and didn't read the verses above it, you would think this was just a warm, fuzzy, nice Jesus verse. But Jesus is actually just fussed at the audience. He's fussed at the crowd. Specifically, he looks out at them and he says, "You didn't believe in John, the very first Baptist." John was the very first Baptist. He was before Phil the Presbyterian, or before JoJo the Charismatic. These jokes are way over your head. He was called John the Baptist because he baptized people in the water. And Jesus says, "Hey, listen, John came first baptizing people, and you didn't believe in him. You said he was demon-possessed. And you said he was demon-possessed because he didn't come eating or drinking with the people. He didn't hang out with the common people. And so you said that guy is cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs. He is crazy. He is demon-possessed." And then Jesus says, "Here I am on the scene, and I'm eating and drinking with you. And you know what you call me? You call me a glutton and a drunkard. I can't win with you people." And then he fusses at him and he says, "Hey, I want you to hear this. If I did the same miracles that I've done for you to other regions in our area, they would have turned from their sin, they would have believed in me, and their lives would be changed. But you guys have seen me do these amazing miracles, and yet your life is not changed. Why? It is because of your lack of faith." Now, I think this is really interesting because Jesus very rarely gets angry at someone because of their sin. In fact, Jesus is known as a friend of sinners. He was able to be perfect and have a perfect relationship with God, and yet he didn't get mad at sinners. He was a friend to the prostitute. In fact, some of his followers, his disciples, were tax collectors, and the tax collectors were the most despised people in Jesus' day. That was his crew. That was his posse. It was people that everyone else said, "No, you are too far from God." Jesus would say, "No, come on in. Welcome you in. You can be a part of this family. You can be a part of this thing." Jesus was a friend of sinners. What frustrated Jesus was not the fact that even his followers made mistakes and sins. What frustrated Jesus is that his followers didn't believe he was the Son of God. And Jesus looks at him and he's like, "Guys, I've done so many miracles for you. And you keep saying, what's next? What else can you do? I don't know if I really believe you." And so Jesus fusses at them And then he gives this verse. It's going to come on the screens for you. It comes from Matthew 11, verses 28 through 30. He says, "Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." I don't know if you caught what Jesus said, but Jesus said, hey, come to me, everyone, especially those who are carrying a burden. The exact translation, if you were to break down the original language in which this verse was written in, it says, come to me, everyone who works to exhaustion. Now, this verse was given to us over 2,000 years ago, and I think it is crazy applicable for us today. I won't have you raise your hand, but the vast majority of people I know are working to exhaustion. I'm not just talking about physical exhaustion. I'm talking about spiritual exhaustion. I'm talking about the vast majority of people I know would say, yes, I have Jesus. Yes, I'm plugged into a church, but I am being beat up by my life. I am being worn down. I feel pressure. I feel this pressure to serve. I feel this pressure to be a great spouse. I feel this pressure to be a great sibling. I feel a pressure to be a great American. I feel this pressure to be great at my job. I'm always carrying this pressure, this weight, these heavy burdens. I feel these heavy burdens. And yet, most Christians would say, I have Jesus, and yet Jesus would say, if you come to him, he'll take off the burden, and you will actually find rest. I don't know about you, but most people I know are feeling really drained by this world. In fact, the vast majority of people and statuses I see on Facebook are just feeling the weight of this world, the stress, the pressure. And here's something that's interesting. The most people that I know attend church or would say that they are Christians. So I'm not just talking about those that are outside the church. I'm talking about those that are inside, those that are Christians. And so here's something we've got to wrestle with. Either Jesus is a liar and he doesn't give us rest, or we're doing something wrong, right? Because Jesus said, come to me, anyone, even the sinner, even the one that has lots of guilt, even the one that's not perfect. Come to me, lay your burdens down at me, and I will give you rest. So if you've come to Jesus and you're not feeling spiritually rested, either Jesus is a liar or we're doing something wrong. And that's where our core value comes in. Our mission statement starts with saying, loving Jesus. But one of the ways that we as a church want to do that is with our very first core value, which is seek God and the rest will follow. Seek God and the rest will follow. In fact, Jesus said this. He talked about, hey, seek first my kingdom and everything else will follow. Seek first me and watch how all the promises of God follow after it. Seek first God. Seek God first and the rest will follow. Now, most people that I know would say, yep, I'm a Christian, and yep, I have a burden, I have a problem, I feel tired, my soul is exhausted, I am worn out. And so if we're worn out and yet we're a Christian, what is the disconnect? How do we have Jesus and not experience his rest? Well, I wanna illustrate this to help you guys see what I feel most of us do when it comes to Jesus. I need two volunteers, and one is already handpicked. I need someone to pretend to be Jesus, and this person doesn't really think they are Jesus. They are just typecast because they have the best beard in the room. So I need Stephen Haggerty, our worship pastor. This is an official Jesus garb from Amazon. I think he really wore that. So put this first, and then put that on. All right, now I need a second volunteer. You won't be embarrassed. I just need a second volunteer. I'm not afraid of calling you, but I'd rather see a hand. Okay, come on up here. Head on up here. Okay, now while Jesus is getting ready, I want to read to you again this verse. All right, the verse is, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light, okay? Jesus is looking good. You got, stop watching Jesus change. This is, look at the words on the scripture, okay? All right, come this way, Joan. All right, here's this weight. I want you to hold this weight and hold it over your head. I know you teach fitness, so that you should be able to handle that. All right, there, hold it. Now, if at any point you get tired, you can put it down, but don't drop the weight because the stage is wooden and it'll probably go through it. Okay, so you've got to hold on to it. Hold it over your head as much as, and this is actually not a man scarf, Jesus. This is a, there's arms. There you go. Put that through there. We definitely did not practice this before. Okay, so Jesus. Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. All right. Okay, so now we have Jesus, and we have, this is us. This is the average Christian. This is the average person, and we are feeling the weight of the world. We are holding it above our heads. We feel the pressure to perform. We feel the pressure to be good at things, and then we come to church, and we hear things like, you need to volunteer, you need to give money, and instead of that giving us rest for our souls, we just feel more pressure. We just feel like it's being added up on us, and we just say, man, this is heavy. I cannot carry this for the rest of my life. How you doing? You look intense. How you doing?
Okay.
Is it getting heavy yet?
Yeah.
It's getting heavy. Okay. All right. So most of us would say, here's Jesus. I believe in him. I believe he exists. I believe he looks good in his Jesus outfit and his beard. I believe that Jesus is here. And yet I don't believe that if I give this weight to him, that he'll actually give me rest. I believe in Jesus, but I'm going to hold on to this weight because it gives me a sense of control. If I hold on to my worries, if I hold on to my problems, then I feel like I'm in control. So I'm getting tired. She's getting tired. She's starting to sweat, but yet she refuses to let go of that weight. Now, if your arms can, please don't pass out. Okay, breathe. All right, if you need it, don't drop it, but if you need to lower it, you can. Okay, keep holding on to that weight. Okay, I want to ask you guys three questions that is going to help you see, hey, do I really trust Jesus? It's not just do I believe Jesus existed, but do I really trust Jesus? Do I have the type of faith that would make Jesus fuss at me? That would make him say, hey, listen, you're going to church every week, but you haven't really trusted me. I forgive you of your sin. I love you despite your sin, but you're not putting your faith in me. So these are three questions I want you to wrestle with. Does your faith in Jesus reveal that you believe God is in control? So you believe Jesus existed. That's great. You believe he died for your sin. But does your faith in Jesus really point to the fact that he is in control? Or are you running around carrying the weight of the world? Next question. Does your faith reveal that you trust God with the details of your life? Does your faith reveal that you trust God with the details of your life? Or does your faith reveal that you kind of trust God, but you've got to take care of everything? You've got to do everything. You've got to be everywhere. You've got to meet everybody's needs. You've got to do everything because this world is all about you and you've got the pressure of the world in your hands. Or does your faith tell you that you've dropped it at Jesus' feet? Here's a third question. Does your time reveal that you are seeking God first or handling things on your own? Does your time reveal that you're seeking God first? I'm not at all trying to beat anyone up. I'm not trying to make anyone feel bad here. I'm just stating a fact that I see. The vast majority of Christians that I know would say, I believe in God, and yet don't seek God first. The vast majority of Christians. A few months ago, we did a survey in this service. We were doing a series on prayer, and we asked the question, how many of you spend regular amounts of time in prayer? And at Next Level Church, the percentage was like 15% of our church. What if we took Jesus literally? What if we said, okay, everything's going to follow if I seek you first. So I'm literally going to seek you first. How are you doing? Good. Okay. Just want to make sure you don't pass out. What if we literally took Jesus first? What if literally when we woke up every morning, we said, this isn't a burden. This isn't pressure to perform. This isn't me trying to get on your good side, God. This is just me trusting that if I seek you first, everything else will follow. So first thing in the morning, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to read the Bible. YouVersion is a great app. We use it here at our church. In fact, hopefully you're following along today in the notes of YouVersion, but download it. It is free. You can have programs that will help you do devotions, quick little verses, nuggets for you to think through. And then after you read it, what if you just started praying? And if you have trouble praying, try this. Look at your calendar and pray through your calendar. God, what do I have to do today? Well, God, I have a meeting that I'm really scared about. God, I'm going to see a coworker that I don't get along with. Would you give me some grace in that area? God, we have some family drama. We went to bed last night and everyone was upset. I don't know what's going to happen at the breakfast table. Would you give us some grace? Would you give me some wisdom? God, the air conditioning is not working at Next Level Church. Would you help some air to come on? What if we just looked at our calendar, looked at our worries and our problems, we spent a little time reading about God, reading what he has to say to us, and then we sought God by just simply saying, God, here's my problems, here's my day. Seek you first, and the rest will follow. It is one thing to say, I love Jesus, yes, I do. It is another thing to have faith in him to take your problems. Most of us carry the weight of the world, and yet we have incredibly small hands. While Jesus promises us that he holds the world in his hands, and yet we refuse to give him our problems. What would it look like if this was your problems, and you can just go ahead and lay it at Jesus' feet. Don't drop it because it will go through the stage. What would happen if today, if you literally took your problems, if you started saying, okay, God, I've already said I believed in you. I've said the prayer. I've asked you to become a part of my life. I believe you exist, but I'm not feeling that rest. You promised me, Jesus, you were going to give me rest. What would happen if we took Jesus up on that and said, okay, here it is. I lay my problems at your feet. Seek God first, and the rest will follow. Thank you. Would you guys help me thank our friends here, Jesus and Joan? Yeah, Jesus, take that off because it's hot up here. I don't want you to pass out. So this is our first core value. It's going to help us love Jesus. And the reason we pick this is because I really do believe. I am not a perfect human being. I'm not a person that has everything figured out. I don't know everything about the Bible. All I can speak to you is from my personal experience. And I have felt the weight of depression. And I have felt the weight of insecurity. And I have felt the weight of addiction. And I've laid it at the feet of Jesus. And I found some rest. And so I'm just saying to you, what if Next Level was a church that when we say we love Jesus, it is shown by the way that we follow Jesus? What if we sought God first, every single one of us? This church is not going to be marked by how great my sermons are or how great our worship is. This church is going to be marked by the members of it seeking God first. That's how we make a difference. You seek God first and watch as the rest will follow. Does that mean your life's going to be perfect? No. Does that mean you're never going to have anything that hits you that's hard to deal with? No. Walking with Jesus does not equal a perfect life. But I would rather lay my problems at the feet of Jesus, who holds the world in his hands, than walk around saying, I believe in you, you just can't have my junk. Because Jesus says, come to me. You feel exhausted? You feel spiritually drained? You feel beat up by your sin? You feel beat up by your choices? You feel beat up by other people's choices? You feel beat up by the weight of the world? Come to me, and you will find rest. So our mission statement is to love Jesus, and our first core value that helps us do that is to seek God, and the rest will follow. But I told you that there are two core values that are going to help us do this, and I want to get even more specific. Specifically, how do you love Jesus? What is he looking for? How do you seek God? Well, there is a second core value. It's gonna help us do that. And I want to show you this through a verse. This is a separate scenario. This is also Jesus. This is him and his disciples. But this comes in a different book of the Bible. It's Luke 18, verses 15 through 17. It says, people were also bringing babies to Jesus for him to place his hands on them. When the disciples saw this, they rebuked them. But Jesus called the children to him and said, let the children come to me and do not hinder them. For the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Truly I tell you, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it. Let me break this down just in case you missed what happened. Jesus is hanging out. He's at the height of his popularity. And some moms and some families are bringing babies and some kids around for Jesus to bless, to put his hands on, to do the politician thing and take pictures and selfies with babies, other people's babies. And Jesus is praying over and blessing these babies, and all of a sudden his disciples get indignant. They get mad. They say, hey, Jesus, we don't have childcare around here. You are too important to be messing with these kids, these babies. Moms, get your kids out of here. Send them away. Jesus has important matters to deal with. And Jesus is like, oh, do what? In fact, there's another take on this from another one of the Gospels, and it reflects the fact that Jesus actually gets indignant. He gets mad at his disciples. Why would you take away the kids? I cannot prove this, but I am pretty convinced that in the original Greek language this was written in, Jesus was so mad that he said his own name. Just a joke, making sure you guys are still listening. But Jesus is frustrated. He is frustrated with the people. Why? Because they were removing the kids from his presence. And then Jesus flips it on him and he says, hey, listen, here's the deal. Anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it. Anyone who does not receive the kingdom of God like a little kid will not enter it. So God wants us to seek him first and he'll take our problems. But the way that we are supposed to seek him is like a little kid. And that leads us to a second core value that we have. And our second core value is authenticity matters. Authenticity matters. We could have said that this core value was act like a kid, but we wanted to be more specific than that. The way that I believe that you seek God first is through authenticity. And the most authentic people that I know are kids. My kids haven't learned how to hide from their shame yet. My kids do things like they run around buck naked on a regular basis. There's nothing more authentic than running around a house naked. But my kids haven't learned yet that there is some shame in that. They haven't learned that it can be embarrassing. They haven't learned that people might judge them. They are completely authentic. They are completely real. Maybe some of you haven't had little kids in your house or around you in a long time, but if you've had little kids around you, they don't know better. They just say whatever comes to their mind. They say whatever they want to do. They just speak to you. They are the most authentic human beings around. We are having some work done in our master bathroom, and it's been going on for a little while now. And so we've had to use the bathroom in the hall to take showers and things. And my kids' bedrooms are right next to the bathroom in the hall. And for like the first 3 weeks of having to use their bathroom, I would leave my bedroom with a towel wrapped around my waist. I'm not that authentic. And then I would walk into the bathroom. And when I would get out of the shower, I would walk out with a towel around my waist. And by that point, my kids were up. And for like a 2 or 3 week period, my daughter would look at me and she would look up and she'd say, Daddy, why are your ninny so big? Now, if you haven't had little kids in a little while, maybe you don't know that when you talk to them about body parts, you have to give them G-rated body part names. And so things aren't what science calls body parts. You make up names. And for, I don't know how else to describe it, but for these little things in this area, my family calls them ninnies. And my 3-year-old daughter has no idea that my whole life I've felt insecurity about my ninnies. She just is making an observation and wants to know, Daddy, why are your ninnies so big? She's authentic. She is real. And one of the best things about being authentic is my kids are not too prideful to ask for help. When my kids are doing something, it's just a menial task. When my kids are doing something that the rest of us would balk at, they are not afraid to cry out for daddy's help. Just last night, I'd put both my kids to bed. I had just sat down. I had just turned on the TV, and my son starts yelling out, Daddy! Daddy! I go into the room. I say, hey, buddy, what's wrong? I can't get my socks off. I said, buddy, what did you try? Yeah, and his socks were stretched out. Instead of pulling from the heel, he had pulled from the toe, and he had pulled like all the way up to his head, and his socks were like 6 feet long now, but he couldn't get it off of his heel. And he's like, Dad, I need your help. Can you take off my socks? Now, if we were in that situation, we wouldn't ask for help. I'm just going to wear these socks every day. I don't care how bad they stink. I'm not going to ask them for help. Why? We are too prideful. We have been affected by the opinions of other people. And Christians often are the worst at being authentic. And the type of faith that Jesus wants us to have is a childlike faith that says, you know what? I need you. Yep, I can carry this weight for a little while, but Jesus, I wasn't made to carry it on my own. So I need you. How am I going to show that? By seeking you first in the morning. Yep, I can do a lot of things. In fact, you don't need God to have a great life. You don't. There are lots of people, especially in America, that do not believe in God and have a great life. You can do a lot of great things on your own. But why would you want to try? Because there is a peace that you cannot get outside of the presence of God. So instead of doing everything in your own spirit, in your own strength, why wouldn't you lay it down and say, okay, God, I'm really worried about this. Here you go. God, I've been trying. I've been trying for years to beat this addiction, and I cannot do it. Here you go. God, I'm too prideful to admit that our marriage is on the rocks. Would you give me the strength to talk to someone and seek advice before we talk about having a divorce? God, I don't really know what to do with my kids. My kids are just going just crazy. God, my pride tells me that I shouldn't ask for help because someone might judge me and think I'm not a good mom. But authenticity tells me that, hey, I need help in this area. God, here, I'm going to lay it at your feet. Would you give me the courage to talk to someone else? God, I don't know how to do this. Would you help me? Authenticity matters. And until Christians start being real with one another and with God, we are never going to see him take our problems and give us the rest that he promised. Love Jesus. So what does that look like for Next Level Church? Well, it looks like we are going to authentically seek Jesus first. In fact, that is the application for this week. If you're looking for a takeaway, if you're looking for something to work on to do, this is the application for you. It's simply this: authentically seek God first every day this week by reading your Bible and praying. That's it. You say, come on, it can't be that easy. I don't know. Jesus said, seek him first. Maybe it is that easy. Jesus said this thing called Christianity, it shouldn't be a burden. It shouldn't be one more thing that you add to your schedule. It shouldn't be one more thing that you're like, oh man, I forgot to read my Bible. I'm not a good person. No, no, no. It should be a part of the relationship. God, today I'm going to seek you first. And authentically, I'm going to admit to you that I have some faults and failures. I have some weaknesses. God, this is my sixth week in a row trying to diet, and I keep messing up. Would you give me some strength to succeed this week? God, I keep losing my temper at my kids. Here it is. Would you help me? Would you fix whatever's inside so that I don't yell at my kids today? God, I'm going to seek you first authentically. I'm going to be real with you. I'm going to be like a child in your presence. And I'm going to authentically seek you. What would happen at Next Level Church if we showed that we love Jesus by authentically seeking Jesus first every single morning by reading the Bible and praying? I don't know. I just think maybe we would find some rest. I don't know about you, but that's what I want. I want rest for my soul. That's the challenge for today. I would love to pray for us. And if you would, just bow your heads, close your eyes, and let's talk to God some. Let's give him some of our problems, some of our worries. Let's spend some time thinking, God, we just come before you in your presence, and we just admit that we are a hot mess. God, we have made a mess of our lives, and other people have made a mess of our lives, but God, we just take some ownership today to say that we desperately need you. God, we need you. We're going to be authentic with you today. We're going to stop hiding behind the mask of pride. We're going to stop hiding behind the thoughts that we have to be perfect, that we have to have everything down, that we have to know every answer. God, we are going to be real. We are going to be like a child. We're going to seek you first, and we're going to watch as you give us peace. And I just speak that in the name of Jesus, that every single person here today would spend time seeking you and that you would give us what you promised. God, I ask right now that you would give us peace for that person that is addicted to anxiety. God, I ask that you would just break through their mind, that you would give them a peace that surpasses all understanding. For God, that person that is struggling with money and not knowing where it's going to come in, God, I ask that you would give them a peace, that you hold the world in your hands. God, for the person that is dealing with their health and a struggle, God, I just ask that you would help them to find comfort in your arms. God, for those that are struggling in their marriage, God, I pray in Jesus' name that you would give them a peace, that you would help them to rediscover why they got married to each other. And God, we just ask that you would do immeasurably more than we could ask or imagine, that we would be a church that is marked by how we love Jesus. God, give us the strength to do this, even though it's hard. In Jesus' name, amen.
We hope you've enjoyed and learned from today's podcast. If you'd like to connect with us further, you can check out our website, nextlevelchurch.net, or find us on Facebook or Twitter.